Christ suffers with you every time you suffer for him, or when you suffer at all, because you're a finger, you're a hand, you're an eye, an ear, a leg, a foot in the body of Christ. He's the head, but you and I are the body. So when the body suffers, the head suffers with us.
Welcome to Life Talk with Pastor Jeff Wickwire, founder and senior pastor of the exciting Turning Point Church in Fort Worth, Texas. Pastor Jeff brings you powerful biblical messages, along with practical applications that can help you grow in your personal walk with Jesus Christ. So stay tuned and be challenged, be encouraged, and be transformed by the power of the Word of God. On today's edition of Life Talk, we are continuing the message entitled, Our Great Reconciler, in this exciting series called Christ in Colossians. To tell us more about today's message, here's Pastor Jeff.
Today we're continuing the series, Christ in Colossians. Have you ever felt like God was a million miles away? Like you couldn't reach him, touch him, or feel his presence? Well, you know, we've all been there, and it's not a good feeling. But the good news is that we have a great reconciler literally in our corner, the Lord Jesus Christ. It is his ministry and his purpose to take your hand and God's hand and join them together in fellowship. I can't wait to share part two of the message, Our Great Reconciler, out of Colossians, so let's go right to it. That's why it says in Romans 8, the whole creation is groaning, waiting for the revelation of the sons of God, waiting for the consummation of all things in the church to be raptured and God to wrap this thing up. The creation is groaning because the creation was affected by sin. And I love God's creation. I'm a huge fan of God's creation. Now, I love the Creator more than the creation, but I got to tell you, I love what he did. I mean, I do. I love what he did. I love the critters. I love the birds. I love the magnificence, the stars, everything in his creation. Kathy and I were in East Texas and out there where for some reason you can see the stars better. Maybe because there's no smog. I don't know. No lights. We went out and there were kajillions of stars twinkling and just piercing the night. And she said, well, look at those stars. And you look at that, and truly the heavens declare the glory of God. The firmament shows his handiwork. Day by day they utter speech. Night by night they show and preach and teach the knowledge of God. This verse makes it clear that heaven and earth were defiled by sin. Sin began in heaven. It didn't begin on earth. It began in the heart of the highest and most glorious created being in the universe, Lucifer, son of the morning, a musician. I don't mean anything by that. But the Bible intimates that there were actual pipes, as in timbrels or pipes built into him. That's where sin began. And in light of this, God intends to create both a new heaven and a new earth. All trace of sin is going to be removed, and both spheres will be reconciled to God. His reconciliation also extends to total rebels on earth, and that would be you and me. Total, complete rebels we were, if we're in Christ tonight. And you, he says in verse 21, read it with me, saints. And you, who once were alienated and enemies. Wait a minute, stop. Were you an enemy of God? Say, yes, I was. You were. You were. Of course you were. So was I. You who once were alienated, separated from him, enemies in your mind by wicked doings, wicked works, yet now he has reconciled. So he reconciled total rebels. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Paul says we are mentally alienated. If you're not in Christ tonight, if you haven't come to him, anyone in this room or anybody listening by radio, if you're not in Christ tonight, you are mentally alienated from God. Man's battlefield is the mind. And I've told you a lot, and I'll repeat it again. God goes for the heart, but Satan goes for the mind. Satan goes for your thinking. He goes for your thought processes. He went for Eve's mind, her thinking. He goes for our mind and our thinking. In our minds, we were alienated from God and we were his enemies in our thoughts. And that shouldn't be a surprise to anybody. False religions that deny Jesus Christ flourish all around us. Evolution, secularism, atheism, agnosticism, all the isms that are against God. In countless ways, man's mind is held captive by the devil, even to the point of being blinded by the God of this world, blinded by the devil. And we are morally alienated. He says, quote, alienated by wicked works. That's talking about actions. What you think, you will do. So he naturally starts out with the thoughts and goes down into actions. You are as you think. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he and so will he do. Your feet follow your thoughts. So wicked thoughts lead to wicked works, and that's the story of mankind. Sin has debased and ruined humanity. We're in a ruined world. Look at it. Just watch the news for 10 minutes. It's a ruined world. It's people rearranging deck chairs on the Titanic. Let's fix this, fix that, you know, take care of the economy, listen, our problems are so profoundly deep, and at the bottom of that deep, dark well is a sin problem. We are alienated from God in our mind and alienated from God in our works. Sin has debased and ruined humanity. Only through the reconciliation of the blood of the cross can we be saved from it. That's it. Sin makes us aliens and enemies of God. It separates us from God mentally and morally. Period. Now, Paul next points out the meaning of our reconciliation. Why did God do it? Read it with me, can you? To present you holy and blameless and above reproach in his sight. Wow. Why did God reconcile you and me? Why did he deliver us from death? To present us holy, blameless, and above reproach in his sight. When God looks at you and me, all he sees is the blood of Christ. Do you believe that? Some of you say you believe it, but you don't live that way. You're always walking around feeling bad about yourself. If you've repented of all your sins, what about being convicted of your righteousness instead of endlessly convicted about sin? If you're walking with God, why not come to the conclusion and realize that when Satan accuses us before God's throne, as he did Job, God has a response. Satan, all I can see is the precious blood of Christ. That's all I can see. That's it. The sin you accuse them of, Satan, is under the blood of my son. I see no faults. I see no flaws. I see no blemish. I see no wrong. Period. None. Do you believe that? What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes us white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Give the Lord a hand for that. Amen. That's good. Amen. Thank God for such a mighty reconciliation. Isn't that wonderful? Now let's move on. Paul's going to take us from our standing in Christ to our state, and I don't mean Texas. Our condition, or in light of everything he's done for you and me, what should our response be? Read it with me. If indeed you continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast, and are not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you heard, which was preached to every creature under heaven, of which I, Paul, became a minister, in light of all that Jesus has done, we are to be loyal to him. Oh, yeah. I mean, look at what he's done. Look at what he's done. So, Pastor Jeff, I'm in one terrible place right now in my life. Let me ask you something. Are you saved? Has the blood washed away your sin? Well, yeah, but that's about the only thing I've got going for me. Then you've got way more going for you than Donald Trump. Way more going for you than people who may have billions of dollars, beautiful homes, expensive cars, but their souls are lost. What can a man give in exchange for his soul? Nothing. Nothing is more valuable. So if you're saved, you can start right there and begin to thank God. Thank you, Lord, that, you know, I could have been still in darkness today. I could have been going through that sinful lifestyle, living that sinful cycle, but you reached down and you saved me and you washed me and you convicted me of my sin and showed me who you were, and I can praise you for that. I can start there. If you continue in the faith, he says, if you continue in the faith, no demand the Lord places on you and I is too great. Songwriter Isaac Watts put it this way, I love this, were the whole realm of nature mine, that were a present far too small. Love so amazing, so divine, demands my heart, demands my life, demands my all. Now let me be clear about something, because I know what you're thinking when you see that. If you continue in the faith, he's talking about losing your salvation. If you don't continue in the faith, you sunk. Let me show you what it's talking about. I know I'm treading on ice here, thin ice. Paul is not casting doubt on our salvation with his use of the phrase, if you continue. His verb usage is in a tense that means this: if you continue in the faith, which you will assuredly do. It's not assuming you may not and you may be lost again. It's assuming that because you're saved, you will. I'm just telling you the verb tense. And if you have an issue with it, you can take it up with Paul. Because I'm giving you the verb tense. When all else fails, follow directions. When all else fails, look at the language. The verb tense, that's what it means. It's not a question of if you do this or that, you will be saved. Because you can't do anything to save you. Right? By grace you're saved through faith, not of yourselves. It didn't say 98% of your salvation is grace by faith. The rest of it's up to you, dude. By grace, you're saved through faith. That not of yourself. I mean, is that what it says? Now watch. He didn't say if you do this or that, you'll stay saved. You are saved by grace through faith. It's a question of because you are saved, you will do this or that. See, I believe in the perseverance of the saints. I'm sensing, linger there a little bit longer, Pastor Jeff. No. I'm just going to leave it there. But I'm going to tell you that's the verb tense and that's what it means. So it's not telling you you're losing it. All right, now. Next, Paul says, we are to live for him, identified with his cross. Read it with me in verse 24. I now rejoice in my sufferings for you and fill up in my flesh what is lacking in the afflictions of Christ for the sake of his body, which is the church. Now this statement, what in the world can he mean? I'm filling up in my flesh what is lacking in the afflictions of Christ. You read that and you go, wait a minute, Jesus said it's finished. How in the world can he be filling up in his flesh what is lacking? There wasn't anything lacking in the cross. So what is he talking about? I fill up in my flesh what is lacking in the afflictions of Christ. Surely the sufferings of Christ were complete. Amen. Anybody disagree with that? No, they were complete. It is finished, said the Lord from the cross. Now let me explain what he's talking about. When Paul was formerly Saul and persecuting the church, Jesus appeared to him and said, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting them? Is that what he said? Why are you persecuting who? But Lord, I'm not persecuting you. I'm persecuting them. Guess what? Saul had a revelation on the spot when he realized that Jesus did not say, why are you persecuting them? But he said, in persecuting them, you're persecuting me. At that moment, he understood, I believe, the mystical body of Christ. That for him to put his hand upon a Christian was for him actually to put his hand on the Christ. Jesus said, I was in prison and you visited me. I was sick and you came and saw me. I was hungry and you fed me. See, when this revelation gets on you, then going to the pregnancy aid center or the jail or feeding the homeless takes on a whole new meaning, because you're not just feeding them, you're feeding him. Okay? Me. You're persecuting me. Throughout all the long centuries of the Christian era, members of the body of Christ have suffered for the cause of Christ. Many of you in here right now are suffering at your workplace or at home, persecution, criticism, mockery, because of Christ. And do you know that every time you feel pain because of it, he suffers? Why are you persecuting me? Me. Christ suffers with you every time you suffer for him, or when you suffer at all, because you're a finger, you're a hand, you're an arm, you're a neck, you're an eye, an ear, a leg, a foot in the body of Christ. He's the head, but you and I are the body. So when the body suffers, the head suffers with us. As his body, the church, suffered, Christ the head suffered with them. The two are inseparable. So Christ's sufferings are of two kinds. Catch this. Christ has suffered once for all for our sins. And now Christ suffers with his saints. He suffered for, and he now suffers with. And that suffering goes on and on and on until this whole thing is wrapped up. Can I assure you tonight, if you're hurting financially, hurting relationally, hurting in your body, don't let the devil tell you he doesn't care, or he's off creating other worlds, or he's paying more attention to some other saint. He's suffering with you. He really is. Why are you persecuting me? When the devil attacks you, Jesus looks at the devil and says, "You're attacking me. And his day is coming." The first kind of suffering was redemptive. The second kind is responsive. This is what Paul meant when he said, "I fill up in my flesh what is lacking in the afflictions of Christ." He knew that there would be a long time that would pass when the saints would suffer for the cause of Christ. And he said, that kind of suffering where Jesus is suffering sympathetically, responsively with us, is going to go on for quite some time, and I'm only playing a part of it. That's what he meant. He wasn't finishing the work of Christ for our salvation. It's not what he meant at all. Now, next he talks about his ministry as we come to the close. Read verse 25 with me. "Of which I became a minister, according to the stewardship from God, which was given to me for you to fulfill the word of God." The word minister means a servant. Diakoneo, we get the word deacon from it. Diakoneo means a servant. Jesus used the same word when he said the Son of Man has come not to be ministered to, but to minister, to be a servant. So a minister is actually a servant. And Paul is saying, "I was chosen by God to preach and teach God's word," which is the only way a person should ever enter any kind of service, by the Lord's choosing, not by your good idea. If whatever service to Christ you enter into should never be a good idea. It should be a God idea, because ministry is not a career choice. It's a selection. We have been selected, chosen by God. Now, let me tell you something, and I want you to believe this when I tell you, because I'm right out of the Word of God, I'm telling you. The moment you got saved, the Holy Ghost gifted you. Every one of you. The moment you got saved, he gifted you and purposed something for you. You individually and us corporately as a body, we have a calling together, but individually you've got one yourself. And one of the great adventures of life to me, and one of the great purposes of life, is to find out what that was and then go do it. But not because you like the way it looks, but because God lays his hand on you and says, "This is what I've destined you to do." Every one of you have a destiny, a calling, a divine purpose, a selection, We've all been drafted. We're all in the army. We're all in the war, and we've all got a call. All of us. Now, next, he talks about a mystery. Read this with me, verse 26. The mystery which has been hidden from ages and from generations, but now has been revealed to his saints. Now, mystery. That's mysterious, isn't it? Mystery in the Bible can mean the holy secret. It means a truth that cannot be discovered by human reasoning, but only by divine revelation. Now, what you're holding in your hand, you got your Bible, you'd have never known any of that but by divine revelation. Now, Paul was the one chosen by the Holy Spirit to expound on the three great mystery truths of the New Testament. And here's the three great mystery truths of the New Testament. The mystery of Christ's cross in Romans, the mystery of Christ's church in Colossians and Ephesians, and the mystery of Christ's coming in 1 and 2 Thessalonians. What did he say? Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. We shall be changed. He talked about the rapture. So those three great mysteries, Paul was chosen by the Holy Spirit to write down and give them to the church for the rest of the ages. Now, but the mystery of all mysteries we want to close with tonight. It comes in verse 27. Read it with me, because this has to do with you and me. To them, God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles. Preach it now, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Greatest mystery of all is right there. Christ in you is the greatest mystery of all. The Lord Jesus not only incarnated himself in human flesh, but he chose to take up residence in each of his own. Help me, Jesus. In the Old Testament, they went into the Holy of Holies, a place built physically, a physical building. But now you and I are the Holy of Holies. The great mystery of the ages is that God wrapped himself in skin, became one of us, died for our sins, rose from the dead, sent the Holy Spirit, not to touch us, not to tickle us, but to come to live inside of us. God dwelling in jars of clay. That's the great mystery. He who once gave his life for us now abides in us to give his life to us. And that's the hope of glory. Christ comes to live in us, lost sinners though we had been, we'll go to live with him forever. And in light of these stupendous truths, we must, says Paul, reach every man. Read verse 28, we're closing out the chapter right now. Verse 28, him we preach, warning every man, teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Jesus Christ. Every man, every man, every man. He says it three times in one verse. We are to evangelize every man, warning them, you better not reject Christ. We're to educate every man, teaching them the whole counsel of God. We are to edify every man that they might be presented, matured in Christ. And if you want to know the purpose for our church, we just read it. Every man, every man, every man. In reach, outreach, upreach. There it is. Finally, Paul reveals the secret of his strength and success and of ours. Let's finish out the chapter, verse 29. Read it with me. To this end, I also labor, striving according to his working, which works in me, how? Mightily.
We hope you were blessed by Pastor Jeff's message. We're so glad to have you with us today. Here at Life Talk, we want to stay connected with you and help equip and encourage you in your walk with the Lord. If you would like to receive e-devotionals and ministry updates from Pastor Jeff, visit our website at lifetalkradio.us. That's lifetalkradio.us. From there, you can sign up to receive this exclusive Life Talk listener email. When you sign in for the first time, we'll send you a free gift as a thank you for being a devoted LifeTalk listener. So go to lifetalk.us and sign up for a free e-devotional today. To get a copy of today's message or this entire sermon series, give us a call toll-free at 877-884-3111. That's 877-884-3111. Our friendly staff will be standing by to assist you and even offer you a special discounted price so you can get your own copy of your favorite message or the entire sermon series from Pastor Jeff. This is our way of thanking you for your unwavering support for Life Talk. Once again, the number is 877-884-3111, or visit our website at lifetalkradio.us for more information. Coming up on Life Talk.
The more you come to know Jesus, the more enriched, I guarantee you, you will become. People who say, I tried Christianity and it didn't work, didn't try Christianity. They just thought they did. Because Christianity has not been tried and found wanting. It's been found difficult and not tried.
That's next in a brand new message we're calling Knowing Jesus Better, in this series entitled Christ in Colossians. Thank you for listening today. We look forward to being with you again here on Life Talk Radio. Until then, God bless.